This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Again, the folks in Louisville, Kentucky, might be the happiest place on the planet this morning. Yeah. They get their new basketball coach. Kenny Payne comes home, and Kentucky's on the couch after last night losing to a 15 seed. The folks in Louisville, can they get it any better than that?
Yeah, I was on radio yesterday afternoon with our buddy Mark Ennis and Luke Hancock. After Luke had appeared on our show in the morning, and they were asking me about, you know, kind of the bracket and the way it's set up, and I said, wait a second, you know, given Louisville fans, they got to be hoping that in the perfect world you get Murray State, Kentucky, and then Murray State would beat Kentucky, right? Because Murray State, Matt McMahon's done a pretty good job. That's
really
a good, nice
they
team.
They're a really good team.
They're a really good team. And so I said, you know, that's like one of those deals, Hancock, that we saw a couple of weeks ago. It's one of those for the rest of your lives type thing, right? And Luke goes, yeah, UK doesn't want any part of that game. Well, come to think of it, they're not going to get any part of that game. Luke was right.
I mean, seriously, that game last night was nuts. And you know what? Everybody, every blue blood, let me emphasize this. Every blue blood's got one of those. I'll go break the news to you.
Oh.
And Kentucky tag, you're it. John Calipari first out last night in terms of first round games. But North Carolina has the Weber State game. Duke's got the
Mercer-Lehigh. Show Arsenault.
Everybody's got Michigan State. Remember when they lost a couple years ago?
Middle Tennessee State with Giddy Potts.
That's it. I mean, everybody's got one. Indiana lost to a 3-seed 100 years ago. Kansas lost to Bucknell.
Oh, yeah. Coach Tom got them.
Syracuse. I mean, Everybody's got one of those, and that's what makes the tournament so much fun and special.
That's why we said last week, this is the 3.5 weeks where America dives in. Don't you think?
Yep.
What'd you drop? Your glasses? Come on, let's get
$6 designer glasses.
No, these things are New York City, man. Glasses are New York City tight.
$6.
It's the great thing about the event. It's the reason America embraces the thing, isn't it?
Yeah. You see guys, you haven't, like I said last night, we're watching the game, and my wife, Amy, God bless her, I love her to death. Yeah. Doesn't really even care about sports. She really doesn't, for the most part.
Yeah.
And she even came down like, what are you hooting and hollering about? I said, man, I'm watching this crazy Kentucky game. Mm-hmm. And she sits down and she says, well, who are they playing? I said, something called St. Peter's is what I told her. Yeah. And she goes, well, where are they from? I said, I have no earthly idea. I couldn't even tell you. And she goes, well, don't
my
you?
Favorite
she
part
says,
of the story.
She says, don't you cover sports? I said, I do. She goes, you've never heard of St. Peter's? I said, I have no idea where they're from.
Well, they're not to be confused with St. Francis of Brooklyn.
I know about them.
Yeah, or the St. Francis of PA.
Being a Brooklyn guy, as you well know, after my Brooklyn Heights days.
Let's take you to the only ACC team yesterday in the men's card, and that was Carolina, who looked the role, by the way.
Played great.
Packers right. Full credit. Balky first 5 or 6 minutes.
It was
a little ugly.
It looked like Virginia North Texas for about 5 minutes.
And then all of a sudden, Carolina hit the go button, and Shaka Smart's defense could not get the principal ball handler stopped. And you saw yesterday what happens when the havoc doesn't create the havoc. Because Carolina, look at the open shots in the highlight. Now remember, havoc traps the pass in the front court, right? Well, they don't get the pass trapped. Look what happens. The second pass becomes the money ball. It becomes to an open shot. Brady Manick, Caleb Love, R.J. Davis. Pick your favorite Carolina player. They all scored. Brady Manick had a season-high 28.
R.J. Davis did not score. In fact, he had a horrific day shooting the basketball. That's why I said I thought Caleb Love yesterday was going to be the guy. And it turned out he was terrific. 6 threes in the first half. North Carolina put that thing to bed. That was a Billy Packer special. It's over. And that thing was done in a heartbeat. And now North Carolina gets ready for the number one seed Baylor Bears, who also looked the part yesterday. Yeah. But they're going to have two starters out for that game.
But critical nature about Carolina yesterday, and here is Hubert Davis afterward talking about the attitude he wanted to see out of his team.
When there was that altercation at half court, kind of midway through the first half, it seemed as though you turned to your bench to really encourage them and get them fired up. Is that accurate and kind of what's
yes.
your...
Yes.
What was your intent there?
My intent is to continue to fight. That plain and simple, period, the end. That if someone's trying to push us around, we're going to push back. If they're going to elbow, we'll elbow them back. If they're going to kick us, we're going to kick them back. I've been clear and definitive to the guys about what we need to do out there on the floor. And there's been a number of times where teams have tried to push us around. And the only way that you can change that narrative of people thinking that they can do that is that you swing back or you be the first one to swing. And so I told the guys before the game, I said, there's three types of people. There's people that don't want to fight. There's people that do want to fight. And there's people that looking for a fight. And I said, I want a bunch of guys, 17 guys in the locker room that are looking for a fight as we go out there and compete. And that's what they did. And I'm very, very, very proud of them.
Well, they'll be looking for a fight. They're going to get one tomorrow at 12:10. Yep. This is a big-time game loaded with big-time athletes. It
sure
should
is.
Be outstanding. And North Carolina needs to kind of move the trend from their Big 12 days. Now, they've not had great success against the Big 12 in the tournament.
That's correct. 95-63, the final against Marquette. 844-SAY-ACCN. Some folks are standing by to visit with us. Jimmy in North Carolina gets us started. Jimmy, good morning.
Good morning. How y'all guys doing?
All right.
Good. I was just wondering what your take was on the armbar that the guy Marshall put the chokehold on Caleb Love, and whether you think it should have been a flagrant one, which it was, or do you think it should have been a flagrant two foul?
I thought that, I'm going to give you a general answer to that question. I thought the officials did a good job yesterday across the board. Now, they missed some calls in, like, the Iowa game, I thought, late down the stretch, which you just can't miss. But I thought the officials did a good job yesterday, not only in the North Carolina game, but also others.
Right.
Where there was a little edginess, where they just didn't want to tee people up and throw them out. They understood the magnitude of, hey, you guys have earned the right to get to this spot, to be right in this tournament. Let's not do something stupid to toss somebody, tee everybody up. And, regular season game, that might have been a different call, for argument's sake. But I thought the officiating yesterday, for the most part, whether we're talking about the North Carolina Marquette game or any other, I thought the officials had it right in terms of understanding, hey, we're all here to watch the kids play. Mm-hmm. Now let's play. Clean it up and don't make it, and make sure you understand, I don't want to see it again, but let's go play basketball. I thought they did a good job.
Yeah, dead ball technical foul was the result of the Caleb Love play. I think one of the wrinkles in this event is officiating. Why? Because you're bringing people from all sorts of different cross sections of the country together, not just to play basketball, but to officiate the game. Now, for the most part, some of the more experienced guys have been on the floor with either one or perhaps even both of their partners in those games. However, you get into some games where you have three guys that have never worked together before. And that requires, in the world of officiating, a little bit more mechanical understanding of where each other's going to rotate on the floor. There's some rules about officials and the way they move around the floor and who has the clock and who has certain aspects of it. I don't know about combinations. I can tell you about some, but I didn't see anything glaring yesterday. So J.D. Collins, the National Supervisor of Officials, deserves a lot of credit for that.
I agree. I thought they did a nice job. And,
yeah,
and keep in mind, too, the officials, much like the teams, are looking to advance. They're not looking
exactly
to
right
be the story. And mm-hmm, I think that's kind of going back to Jimmy's question regarding the Caleb Love thing. The last thing the officials want to do is be the talking point
no
by the media,
question,
talking heads, idiots like us, going, man, can you believe Joey Jones blew that call?
Mm-hmm.
They don't want that. They're
that's
not
it
looking to sign up for that. So,
yeah.
So I thought the officiating yesterday, for the most part, other than the tail end of the Iowa game, I thought they missed some calls you just can't miss.
Yeah.
But that's life, all right? They're not always going to get it right.
I will give you a note, by the way, historically. Amy Bonner last night in the UCLA game became the second female to whistle an NCAA men's tournament game. About a decade earlier, we had a female who worked a single game. But Amy Bonner is one of the most respected women officials we have in the men's game. The ACC, of course, introduced two female officials into the mix this year during the regular season play when the conference started back in November. So congratulations to Amy Bonner on that note. And Mark's right. The promotional aspect of this is really important in the world of officiating. And there are a lot of eyes on these guys. In fact, there are supervisors at every regional site Power Five, all the Power Five supervisors, Mike Eads of the SEC, who's a former ACC official, Brian Kersey, our friend, who's a supervisor in the ACC. These guys are all at the regional site spread out across the country to perform the evaluation. And J.D. Collins, who's the national supervisor, will move around during the tournament as much as he can. I think that's a really important aspect about this event that sometimes doesn't get called into play, as you said, until something goes haywire.
That's right.
So,
and that's why I think it, like, if that was a regular season game, the call could have been different there.
I mean, you might on Caleb seen, Love?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think you would have gotten a different call.
And if it were a conference game, I think it would have been.
I don't think there's any doubt about that. But that's why I think that's why I said I gave props to the officials. It's, number one, it's an impossible job. It's incredibly difficult. Number three, they don't want to be the storyline, and nor should they.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, let's be honest. You watch great games. I don't care what the sport is. Mm-hmm. The best officiated games, best refereed games are ones in which you don't even know they're there.
That's it.
And that's how it needs to be.
And that's their goal, by the way.
Right.
To officiate the game, administrate it, move on, you know, produce a winner, call a balanced game, have a clean game. That's all they ever want. Now,
to be honest with you, I thought the officiating was really
I did too.
Very good yesterday.
Now, of course, we've just put the curse on the day.
No, I get that. So. But we don't want to be, listen, we don't want to come back here Monday and show you highlights of an ACC team this weekend and go, man, did they get hosed?
Right.
We don't want to go there. I mean, we really don't.
I'm going to follow up on something Jay Billis said about Teddy Allen of New Mexico State. He's exactly right. They could have run Teddy Allen yesterday at the end of the New Mexico State game.
Well, in a regular season game,
I think he would have been
tossed in a millisecond.
Right, especially in a Power 5 venue.
I mean, he's over there flexing and talking, barking, and you're just saying, hey, listen, I'm going to warn you once.
Yeah.
The second time, I got to do something about it. And they talked to him at least, I know, three or four times last night. But he was awesome. Dude, was he good.
He went Marshall Henderson on that crowd last night.
Oh, he was unbelievable.
We hadn't seen solo shows like that one since Marshall Henderson was at Ole Miss, popping the jersey in front of the Auburn fans.
Yeah, he would run down to the corner just to make sure. Yeah, you make sure you get this right.
Right.
I mean, he was talking it and walking it. I'd say yesterday was such a perfect March Madness day, wasn't it? I mean, really was.
Yeah.
We had great games, great finishes, upsets, surprises, good teams having to figure out a way to win. It was great stuff.
Yeah. All did not go perfect for the ACC yesterday. Last night, Sioux Cimarron, Florida State, in an 11-11 play-in game in Baton Rouge, fell to Missouri State 61-50 last night. It's part of the Spokane region. And quite frankly, the Seminoles just did not have the A game. That's as simple as I can put it.
Third quarter got them, Wes.
Yeah.
The thing was
they didn't shoot it well either.
No, 27% is a guaranteed lock to put you in a bad spot. But they got outscored 21-10 in the third quarter and game set match. They lose by 11.
Yeah. They scored 50 or less in a game for the third time this season and shot 27% from the floor on 15 of 55. And whether you're playing Missouri State or Bug Tussle State, that will typically get you beat.
Yeah.
And last night was an 11-point game. That ends the Seminole season. But there are seven other teams left from the ACC and the women's side that begin play today.
But so far, so good on the men's side. 2-0 in the NIT, 2-0 in the NCAA, and a ton of games today on both the men's and the women's side, as you pointed out. So if you loved your hoops yesterday, you're going to love today, tomorrow, and Sunday.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Hey, don't forget ACC baseball coming up tonight. They'll take you to Jim Patterson Stadium in Louisville. They got a lot going on in Louisville today, don't they? Number 6 Notre Dame visits Dan McDonald and the Cardinals. 7 o'clock first pitch right here on ACC Network. And streaming live on the ESPN app. I mean, the new coach is in town. They got a press conference, follows our show at 10 o'clock. We got baseball. We got a women's basketball regional site at the Yum Center. We got a lot going on in Derby City.
We got to get a bigger plane, though, for Kenny Payne. Just going to tell you right now. I watched him get off that plane yesterday in Louisville.
Yeah.
We need a bigger plane. You see him crawl that thing?
Well, he's a tall guy now.
I know it, but Louisville, we need a bigger plane for Kenny now.
All right.
I'm just saying.
Make a note. You know, call Eric Wood, see if he can get us that bigger plane.
Whatever Eric's flying in, we got to get Kenny flying in that thing.
Women's swimming, men's and women's swimming and diving is underway. The NCAAs in Atlanta.
Wahoo, wah.
At the Macaulay Aquatic Complex, site of the 1996 Summer Olympics. You may remember that, Pac.
I do.
Back in the day. Yesterday, Virginia won three national titles and set two American and NCAA records yesterday.
Who's are bad now? The yeah. Who's know what's going on?
Crowd getting after it in the pool. Virginia leads.
If they're swimming or rowing, the yep. Who's can get it done.
Virginia leads the standings. They got 210 points as they start today. Texas 128, Stanford 123, Alabama 120, NC State 99. Alex Walsh, friend of the show,
that's right,
won her second consecutive 200-yard IM national championship yesterday. Fastest time in the history of the event, 150.08. To break the previous record by almost 0.6 of a second. So congratulations. Kate Douglas started off the day. She set an American and NCAA record in the 50 prelims of 20.87, fastest ever in the event. Douglas and freshman Gretchen Walsh, friend of the show,
yep,
entered the finals with the two top times and finished 1-2 with the two fastest times in Virginia history. That's in Atlanta. In Detroit on the Michigan Riviera at Little Caesars Arena, NC State's wrestling team will have four going for a semifinal berth tomorrow. The remaining six are still alive in the consolation round of the 2022 Wrestling Championships. The pack is third overall after the first two rotations. Tariq Wilson, Ed Scott, and the Heidleys are advancing. Should have known. The Brothers of Destruction pack, they're holding it up for you.
And Tariq was on with us too?
Yeah. So North Carolina, by the way, advanced two wrestlers through, Cole Matthews and Elijah Cleary for the Tar Heels. So you're up to speed. By the way, Cole Matthews of Pittsburgh is the one who advanced into the Friday quarterfinals. Five Pitt wrestlers are still alive. Elijah Cleary is also there. Virginia Tech opened the wrestling championship. Four Hokies went 2-0. Yesterday, Brian Courtney, a pair of wins in the quarterfinals. He leads Virginia on day one of the action yesterday. So a lot of stuff going on here with the wrestling and whatnot in Detroit, swimming in Atlanta, and these are all national championships, not just the ACC stuff.
Not surprised to see NC State having great success on the mat. Not surprised at all about the Hoos in the water, man.
That's it.
They're both great.
Yeah, piece we're excited to premiere for you here on Packer and Durham this morning is the story of Haley Van Lith and her dad. It's a term, girl dad, that gained prominence a couple of years ago after the tragic death, of course, of basketball legend Kobe Bryant. He was a clear advocate and example of the relentless pursuit for equal opportunity so his daughters would have the same thing that boys had. Haley Van Lith grew up with a girl dad, and they shared the same dream, Haley becoming a dominant college basketball player. Check. Katie George has the story of the girl dad.
This is where it all started. Fourth grade. I mean, right here. I can't tell you. She liked this end for some reason because people would come in here and try to watch her, and they'd sneak in. We'd catch people coming through the curtains. We grinded right here in this little elementary gym, and she's playing in the Yum Center now. I mean, that place holds 22,000 people.
Haley Van Lith for three.
It's almost like Haley Van Lith said, hey, I'm just going to take over.
Finding the footwork and the bucket.
Her intensity is off the charts. She's one of the top five that we've had here at Louisville, and we've had some good ones. What makes her unique is she's willing to put the work in.
A lot of people think you're crazy for working that hard. Like, I don't know how you do it. I just really love being in the gym, and I get it from my dad. He loves me so much that he's willing to be honest with me when it's my fault or I need to change. At the same time, when I am right, he'll let me know that. And that's how I know that my dreams aren't unrealistic, because he has never told me that.
Haley Van Lith is pursuing her wildest dream, one that was conceived a decade ago as a 10-year-old in Cashmere, Washington.
We were sitting there watching TV, and that was back in the day when UConn was just dominating and Tennessee, and she was watching it, and she was like, I want to do that.
I vividly remember having the conversation, I want to say like fourth, fifth grade, really serious about it, and he was like, well, if you want to do this, like, you have to practice every night. Like, even if you already have practice, you have to practice after practice. So we started renting out a gym every night for 2 hours.
What were the workouts like?
Very intense. I mean, we're going to do it my way, and which is going to be 100% all the time. They were game speed. I was very physical with her. I wanted to teach her how to be physical. And so I had the pads. I was beating on her when she was coming in, and she thought I'd hit her too hard sometimes. If we're gonna be here an hour and a half, it's gonna get on. And when you get mad at her, it's on.
There were definitely times when they came home not speaking to each other, door slamming, and I'd think, oh, this is it. Like, she's not gonna wanna go practice with him again. And she would be the one the next day. She would just go pick up a ball and go stand in front of him, and then it was, okay, let's go.
At the end of the day, neither one of us was gonna give up on this dream that I had. He would work 10-hour days out on construction, hard labor, and then he'd come in at 9:30, wouldn't eat dinner, take me straight to the gym. We'd shoot till 11 p.m. at night.
The countless hours Van Lith invested with her dad, Corey, paid off in high school, where she averaged 34 points per game. In 2019, after leading Team USA to gold at the FIBA 3-on-3 18 and under World Cup, she caught the attention of another basketball father.
I was in Mongolia, and someone that was on the men's team was a type of manager for Kobe, and he's like, Kobe wants to work out with you. And I was like, Kobe doesn't even know who I am. What are you talking about?
I got involved and said, all right, let me talk to somebody to find out, like, is this real? And so I reached out, and they're like, no, he wants to, he's very interested in talking to Haley, learning from Haley, like, and training her, and just sitting down with her. And I was like, wow.
I got to work out with him a few times. Everything had to be like 10 makes in a row, everything in a row, work on both hands. He really wanted to stress the perfection of both sides to me. Having G there was something that was really cool, and just getting the opportunity to mentor her a little bit.
Kobe felt like he was putting Haley in front of Gigi and was a little bit of a role model for Gigi on, hey, if you do this, what I've been telling you, like, it'll work. That day he told me, Corey, I've never seen anybody do every drill as hard as Haley does every single drill. He asked me to send him a workout that me and Haley had just did. He'd like our workout. And I just remember shaking my head and being like, he don't need my advice on what to do with his daughter. Like, he knows, like, it was just, but he cared about how I made it work.
Obviously we had survived training with each other all those years. It's Kobe Bryant, like one of the greatest players ever, and he was looking at us. That was a big moment for my dad, knowing like all the sacrifices, everything he has done for me could inspire another relationship.
On January 11th, 2020, making good on a promise to the Van Liths, Kobe and Gianna Bryant traveled to Kashmir, Washington to watch Haley play.
We got there about midway through the first quarter, and the buzz, man, the buzz was going, and you could see the buzz around the gym. And he enjoyed it, man, like he liked it. Like, Gigi was sitting next to him, and she was just glued in.
For him to take the time for Gianna and him to fly into little old Kashmir, you know, to come watch a game, it meant a lot. He taught her to be who she is, and you don't apologize for it because you're a strong, aggressive player. You be who you are, and it's okay to be that and be a girl.
Van Lith continues to honor Kobe and Gianna's memory every time she picks up a ball. And while she no longer trains with her dad on a nightly basis, their bond is stronger than ever.
What does the term girl dad mean to you?
Man, it's just providing her the same opportunities that boys get. I'm going to do everything I can to provide her everything that she wants to earn, and we weren't going to stop till that happened. She deserved that.
When he comes to some games, like, I'll work out with him the night before the game, and it's like, let's just have you rebound for me again, like old times. Let's just experience this again. Wherever I'm at and whatever I'm doing, he always is a reason behind me being able to do that.
A good story. Great job by Katie George and our production group to feature Haley Van Lith. She is a star in this game. On the women's scene, and been great on our show. We've enjoyed getting to know her from that aspect, and looking forward to watching Louisville get after it this weekend.
Well, the thing that's cool about her, and I can't tell you personally know her other than our conversations with her, but right. Obviously watching her play is great. But every time she's been with us, given all of her success, mm-hmm. whether it be on the court, whether it be the Instagram stuff, because she's a social media star,
right?
She seems so grounded, yep. right? And that does go back to normally great parenthood.
Yep.
Normally.
Yep.
So shout out to her for
Kashmir, that. Washington's beautiful, right?
It's like my kind of place.
I'm telling you now, I might want to. They got 18 holes at the bottom of one of those mountains. That might be a good spot. I know you don't care.
Holes.
You don't need 18.
It just looks
holes.
Like my kind of place. Yeah, one got one light. Good place to grab a little meat and three.
Yeah.
A little good piece of pie.
There you go.
Pickup truck.
That's it.
Some woods, some dogs, yep. stream, water. No cell phone service. Perfect.
Don't have to talk to anybody.
Oh, hey, yeah. Just know you know everybody on a first name basis. Don't have to lock your car. Sounds like my kind of place.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
There's the pass to Leitner. Puts it up.
Christian, first to you, congratulations on what we tried to do on the last shot.
Well, thank you. We just decided to go play. Grant made a great pass. When I went in, I couldn't believe it. That happened to me twice in a career. It was just incredible.
Did you feel he wouldn't foul you? You were safe taking the shot?
I thought if I create some distance, they wouldn't foul me, no. Because we've been shooting our free throws real well all day.
Standing in the Merrick Inn in Lexington, Kentucky, with my dad and Bill Guthridge, and watching on a TV in the bar area when that shot went in.
We all rooting for Kentucky.
What do you think? Huh?
Yeah, I think probably there that wasn't a unanimous. I guarantee it was not a unanimous rah rah.
Carolina had lost to Ohio State the night before in Rupp Arena. And Hubert Davis was on that team, by the way. And I mean, it's one of those plays. It's one of those moments you remember exactly where you were when you saw it.
Was.
Where were you?
I was in Florida. I was working for the Blockbuster Bowl.
Oh, that was your 18-month
hiatus.
Sojourn to South Florida. You and Palms operating the bowl.
Yeah, I remember watching that game down in Florida.
Yeah.
Stunning. Incredible game.
Still one of the great moments in no sports doubt. And certainly in the history of the NCAA tournament.
No doubt.
Rest of the ACC is on the floor today. Yesterday, Carolina put 32 between them and Marquette. Today, we get started. And tell you, Miami, 3:10 this afternoon, they start the clock when they see USC. 10-7 game, and this one is interesting.
Yeah, this is a good game because of contrast of styles. Mm-hmm. SC, long, athletic, has height advantage. And here's Miami, great guard play. So, what do you believe in as far as your basketball philosophy?
Right.
Do you believe that great guard play in that great backcourt can lead you to win? If so, then Miami's your kind of team. This is a good matchup. This is a bunch of really good athletes on the floor. Contrast the styles to the absolute max.
Yeah. The other Mobley, of course, for Southern Cal inside. Let's watch Sam Wardenburg today, right? That's part of the length you
see. Miami's going to have to be able to turn them over, but that's what they do best.
Right. Like Ray Harper as a coach, think he's done a great job at Jacksonville State. They got no shot in the 15-2 game.
Ooh.
No shot.
Heaven forbid a 15 beat a 2 from the
SEC.
That never happens.
If we have another 2 seed from the old Southeastern Conference go down.
And they will be able to talk about football all day long.
There you go. 4:15 start. Number 11, Notre Dame. Number 6, Alabama. You're the best. And that is at the Aztec.
They're allowed to talk hoops on that network.
They are allowed.
Not in the afternoon.
They did when they were on site in Tampa for 4 days
no.
at the tournament. The ball game is at the Aztec Bowl out in San Diego. The Irish, of course, were double OT winners the other night against Rutgers. And now they draw the Tide. And hot and cold does not begin to describe Alabama's season for Nate Oates. Notre Dame did not hit threes and lived to tell about it the other night. Here's a look at the lower half of the West region. You see the top with Bama and Notre Dame, and then Texas Tech and the Bobcats of Montana State, the champs of the Big Sky, waiting for the winner.
I know that has got an ACC feel to the top and the bottom, but I'll be honest with you, that 10-7 thing, just like Miami and SC, is intriguing. I think same thing with Michigan State and Davidson.
Totally agree.
Bob McKillop, Tom Izzo, two great, not good, great coaches. Yep. You mentioned with Bama, when they're really good, they could win the whole thing. They could win the whole thing. That's how crazy good they can be.
Yep.
Anybody could beat Baylor. Anybody could beat Gonzaga. Anybody beat Houston. That's who, what they did. They're scary. They're also scary because they lost to Georgia and others. You go, how's that possible? So
it's
which Alabama team you get, I got no earthly idea. For Notre Dame, the double overtime win that ended past midnight. You travel from Dayton all the way out to San Diego.
Right.
You've got to worry about the legs a little bit, the travel, all that stuff. But Notre Dame's got to make threes and a bunch of them to win the game.
Alabama is one of about three or four teams in this event. And I'm going to give you Wisconsin, who, ironically, I think is capable of making a run in this event with Johnny Davis. If he's healthy, I think Wisconsin can really do some things. But Alabama and Wisconsin have given you two or three, like, really, they lost to them?
Lost to Nebraska at home with a chance to clinch the Big Ten regular season. How's that possible?
Right. But you know what I mean?
Yeah. But that's college hoops, though.
That's really, this year for sure.
And the fact that we've gone through old teams, it's just like college football. Teams got old.
Right.
All of a sudden, you go up against an experienced team that goes, I don't care that you're a higher seed.
Yeah.
We're just as good as you are. You saw it last night with St. Peter's at Kentucky.
Yeah.
Those guys didn't flinch at all. They didn't flinch from the opening tip all the way to the end where they went ball game, scoreboard. Yeah. I mean, that is the beauty of college hoops in this tournament.
I just have no idea what you're going to get today with Notre Dame. I think I know what Notre Dame's going to give you, but I have no feel for Alabama.
No. Zero.
All right, what about Virginia Tech, Texas? The curiosity for me in this is, can Mike Young, as good as he is at game prep and building sets and all these things, can Virginia Tech get the Barclays Center with them to play Texas today? I mean, I know that sounds crazy, but in all honesty, that's kind of where I am with this. I mean, can they get this game in Milwaukee to be the kind of game they played last week?
See, Wes, it's funny that that's your approach. My approach is the exact opposite. Can they get Barclays out of their system? Mm. Because they got to get past the fact that, hey, we are the ACC champs.
Yeah.
And you got to get into the moment. I think they will. I have faith that Mike Young will have his guys ready to roll. They've been playing really good basketball. Not forget about Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they turned it around after going 2-7. I go back to the game that you did in Blacksburg against North Carolina, where they really had a chance to kind of stamp their NCAA bid and whiffed, right? North
they Carolina kind of beats bottomed them. Out, I think.
They didn't play well. And then from that point on, man, they just took off. I think they're playing well. And for Texas, they've been leaking oil for the last month or so. Chris Beard's a great coach. Back at his alma mater.
Yep.
There'll be some pressure on Texas to hold serve here. I think Virginia Tech likes their chances.
All right. 7 o'clock tonight. Cal State Fullerton, the 15 seed against Duke, the 2 seed. Everybody said the Blue Devils were 1 seed higher than they need to be. They need to be a 3, not a 2. They got a 2. Here come the Titans, champions of the Big West.
I would suggest to Cal State Fullerton, on your way out, go back through Main Street, because Uptown, listen, you go to Greenville, South Carolina, Main Street's beautiful. So on your way out of town, before you get back to the Spartanburg Jetport, check out Main Street in Greenville, because you guys are going to get run tonight, 7-10. I think Duke's going to
Are you thinking a little dinner at Trap Door or something
Whatever
before
you
hit the charter?
I mean, there's a lot of good places
at GSP
to eat.
Yep, over the Jetport.
Bojangles stays open late.
No, I've already told you.
They don't have Bojangles.
Halls
in, California.
In Greenville. Trap Door. Ives says go to the Trap Door. I say go to Halls.
I think Duke rolls. I do. I do. I'll be walking the dogs at 7-10. That's how confident I am in Duke tonight. I'm not even trying to be funny either. I think Duke's going to beat them sideways.
I saw our friend Jim Nance is in Greenville. Bet Jim went to Halls.
Can we call him?
Sure. Why don't you drop him a text asking him if he went to Halls?
All right.
That's 7-10 tonight.
You handle the next couple
I got
minutes
the next
and we just
one.
Send him a text.
I got the next one. By the way, here is Duke. There's a little bit of history here, right? The Blue Devils have the best winning percentage in NCAA tournament history at 750. They're 114-38. The wins rank third. The 5 championships are the 4th most. So Duke plays with a little bit of history. Here's the other part. And this will become a thing now. The finality of this is here. Duke has to win to let Mike Krzyzewski coach. He needs 3 wins, Pack, for 100?
Yep, that's
in
correct.
The NCAA tournament.
That is accurate. I thought I was not part of this segment while I'm sending a text
to
Nance.
You're sending a text to Nance to
that's
see if
correct.
He's going
I'm
to Hall.
I'm listening to you while I'm texting. He's at 97 and moving to 98 tonight.
Yeah. The idea, though, the finality of this setting in, there's been some discussion, right, about kind of what all this has been and if there's been pressure on the basketball team. And for all his good work, Coach K's tried to keep it central to the team and games and winning and losing and their improvement and things like that. He did say yesterday, 3 good days of practice in Durham, team seemed faster, things of that nature. I think it's going to be really interesting to see tonight. You think they'll roll. I think they'll roll too. But how do they start? How do they start tonight against clearly a team that they're heavily favored to beat?
Here's what I want to see from Duke.
Okay.
I want to see them going back to slapping the floor and getting after
them
on defense.
Oh, you want Wojo? Get you a little Wojo?
And that's why I asked Billis that question when he was on with us. I think what Duke has – the piece that is missing from Duke being Duke is that on that end of the floor.
The November-December Blue Devils.
That team defensively got after people.
Yep.
And it was like, whoa, watch out. And this looks like a different brand here. You know, when we did the game in Cameron, North Carolina went right by them. I didn't think Duke was particularly great defensively in the ACC tournament.
I agree with
Syracuse
that, too.
Syracuse caused all kinds of trouble. They were up 1 with 3 minutes to go.
Storm Murphy got to the rim a lot.
And Virginia Tech had their way with them. I mean, it was just like, okay, this is child's play.
Yeah.
So Duke defensively has got to find it. Can they? That was what I asked Jay Billis. If Duke can figure that part out, Wes, watch out for Duke now. I mean, they're a 2 seed, but again, that number doesn't mean anything to me. What can Duke get after people on the defensive side? That's what I want to see early tonight when they take on Cal State.
I want to show you the low end of the bracket in the West Regional, by the way, that ends in San Francisco. Nice place, by the way, for a Sweet 16, Elite 8 out West. You have Duke and Cal State Fullerton. You know you have the Notre Dame-Alabama game at the top of that bracket. Texas Tech-Montana State. But that old 7-10, you've talked about this. Premier coaches. Tom Izzo, he's a household name. Basketball people know how good Bob McKillop and Davidson are. We saw Richmond yesterday beat Iowa. Okay? Davidson in the A-10, Richmond in the A-10. They played a terrific game last Sunday in the championship game in D.C. I suspect Davidson feels that a little bit too, and they want to redeem themselves for the loss in the championship game. Well, no better way than to beat Michigan State today.
Well, Richmond had to win their conference tournament to get in. Virginia Tech had to win their conference tournament to get in. They did. Davidson is a scary team, and you could have a scenario.
How about in Greenville, too?
You could have a scenario where it's Davidson-Duke on the weekend. And I was getting around on radio this week. There were 4 games I was rooting for. I normally don't care who wins, but I was rooting for like Murray State, Kentucky. They had never played. Mm-hmm. I was rooting for Davidson Duke because what a great matchup. They're very similar games, quite frankly. But Kentucky choked it off last night. They're done. They're on the couch. Davidson, Michigan State, I think it's a fun game. 10-7s are going to be outstanding today.
You think a lot of coat and ties there on Sunday if it's Davidson and Duke?
Oh, that's
highbrow basketball,
isn't
it?
That is some highbrow there. Muffet, the Grey Poupon. There will be some uppity.
The worst.
There's some uppity in the upstate.
Oh, stop. Stop. Why do you do that now?
You
I know Davidson people. You know Davidson people. We all know Duke people. Why do you want to play that game?
Wait a minute. I'm sorry. Who brought this up?
Said it earlier in the week.
How come I'm getting blamed for something you brought up? First of all, they both have to win. I don't know if Davidson beats Michigan State.
You know Duke wins, though, don't
I think
you?
Duke's going to kick the living you-know-what out of Cal State Fullerton. I do. I think it's going to be like, yikes. What else is – where's that true
TV? You guys get
true TV? What was 1164?
No, this is CBS tonight.
No, I'm saying, but that game – I'm not going to be watching, I don't think, a whole lot of CBS at 8 o'clock tonight.
Because you think it'll be over?
I think Duke's going to Billy Packer them tonight. It's OVA.
OVA.
O-V-A-H. Over.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham, final segment of what has been really a fascinating week of sports. Really has been.
Little stones to get you ready for the wellness walk.
The boys are heading to Europe, you know. Did you know that?
They're going to be in Italy when you're there?
They're going to be, literally, they are going to be in Milan 1 month after I will be.
Well, you just hang out. Month. Why are you going to come back? Just stay in Milan
another
month.
I hit that lottery. I will be there.
There'll be no more of this, you mean?
No.
Okay, just checking.
No, I won't be here.
Thanks to everybody for a great week. And I mean that. Rich helped us one day. Chrissy was helping us one day.
Lensman Vic.
Lensman Vic. Okay, yep. Lensman Vic. Lisa Friday on a Friday today.
Directing the show.
Yeah. Oh, heck yeah. Never do we have Friday on a Friday with Lisa, right? Yeah.
Now, the smart people in Bristol, they're really the old.
That's it.
They're the talented ones. We just get in front of the parade.
And, of course, Drew Brooks and Brian Ives, who sadly did not wear his Joe Forte jersey today on the show.
He's got it ready for tomorrow, though. It's pressed and ready to go for tomorrow.
Do you know why would you wear the Joe Forte jersey? Because he was on the floor when they lost to Harold the Show Arsenault.
That's right. Don't worry about Ives. Ives got on Argyle today to
Does
get ready
he?
For tomorrow.
Okay.
Yeah.
You sure?
Yeah, I know it.
All right.
He got an Argyle cardigan ready to go today.
Ooh, okay. Ives is nervous. It's his first week, you know, first big week on our show, and you know, throwing the flam.
I'm excited about North Carolina. I'm excited about North Carolina Baylor tomorrow.
Yeah.
I think the Heels got shot.
You know what I'm excited about? Bojangles weekend menu. How about that, huh?
No butter for the dogs.
No butter, just plain biscuit today?
Plain yeah. biscuit for the boys.
Here is the full slate now. I mean, get a look at all that we've got for you. Now, you got the Kenny Payne introductory presser coming up in mere moments. North Carolina at Virginia Tech softball, 5 o'clock. That's got Keeley Richard written on it, doesn't it? Notre Dame at Louisville baseball tonight at 7 o'clock. And don't forget now, late night pack, all ACC.
That's technically tomorrow.
Well, it's tomorrow morning because it's about 12:30 when
Saturday,
it'll come
on. The first 30 minutes of tomorrow, we're live.
Yeah. Then Saturday, you get Michigan and Notre Dame. We should put all ACC
I
right there.
I just got a note from Jim Nance.
Hang on.
Way.
We'll get to
I
that.
Swear to God.
Michigan at Notre Dame, noon. Notre Dame at Pitt softball. Georgia Tech at Louisville. And then baseball, Carolina Duke from the DBAP. Tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, sit tight. Sunday, Virginia NC State softball at noon. Clemson and Duke softball at 2 o'clock. That is Sunday. All of that, lacrosse, softball, baseball, Kenny Payne presser coming up on ACC Network. All right, so message from Jim Nance.
I send to Jim Nance at 9:41 a.m. Hope all is well. We're discussing you on the show this morning. Have you been to Hall's Chop House in Greenville?
Yeah.
His response, two nights of room service, my brother. Just a whirlwind prepping for these games. I've been to Halls in Columbia, and it's outstanding. Jim Nance. There it is.
There you have
you
it.
Want an answer? There it is.
Lots of prepping for James.
There it is. Mr.
He
Nance
and,
on top of it.
Raff and Grant Hill. Tracy Wolfson on the call.
Now, if I was running Halls in Greenville, this is just me. If I was in charge of Halls Chop House or Steakhouse, I've never been
Chop
to
Chop House.
A,
really
Chop
good.
House.
Really good.
I would send something over to Jim Nance today if I was at Halls.
Like for between sessions?
Yep. I would. If again, just touch a class in the upstate South Carolina. Like right there, my man Jim Nance just responded.
He's been to Halls in Columbia.
He knows the quality product.
Absolutely.
He's been doing room service. I don't know what hotel he's staying in, but you know you're an upgrade over room service. So if you're at Halls
we
Chop
don't
House.
We where he's staying, but we know you're better.
In Halls Chop House, listen to me. He's got games. Just send over something with a bone in it. They'll appreciate it.
You know where the back door at Bon Secours Wellness Arena is? It's there where Packer parked for the graduation with President Clements.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
So Hall's Chop House, tag you're it. Jim Nance is looking for a freebie. He really isn't, but I'm just saying it'd be a touch of class on your behalf to pull it off.
Would I send one of those all gratin potatoes over there now? They got some mushrooms that are outstanding.
I've never been there. You said it's great.
It's a really good place.
I appreciate Jim getting back with us.
Yeah.
I'll just give him a real quick response.
Maybe we get to have Jim on the week of the Masters again. That was always fun.
Whatever you want.
Final Four leading up to Augusta.
You want me to give him a note on that? I'll hit him closer to it.
Yeah,
he's got a lot of
points. Well, he'll be in town for the Wells, and he owes us a visit to the basement. Remember, he said when we originally started, we had him on radio like our first 50 shows. Remember?
It's not here, is it?
The Wells Fargo?
Don't we have the President's Cup or something here instead?
Oh, I don't know. Okay. I'm Charlotte native Brian Isaacs.
But what happened last year was I had graduation with Emmy.
Yeah.
And I wasn't here that day he was here.
Yeah. Well, we couldn't do the basement then. We had protocols, too. So
well, that's true.
Yeah.
But nevertheless.
So.
I'm looking forward, though, to the press conference coming up.
Coming up here in just a few moments, we will send you to Derby City. Josh Hurd is there. The mayor of Louisville is apparently going to be on hand, I'm seeing. Lots of dignitaries to welcome Kenny Payne. Remember, this was the name that was the first out, right? Remember, Mark Ennis joined us the day after the breakup with Chris Mack and said, it's Kenny Payne and maybe Mick Cronin. But it's the first name consistently when this job was discussed was Kenny Payne.
And ironically, Mick Cronin, a winner last night, barely against Akron, just got a beautiful contract extension by UCLA.
Huh. Funny how that works.
The timing in life, isn't it?
Speaking of contract extensions, Rick Bozich, our friend from Louisville, WDRB, reporting that, and Eric Crawford reporting Jeff Walls has received an approved contract extension from the Board of Trustees in addition to the paperwork they've done on Kenny Payne's hiring.
Certainly well deserved. He has built a monster, and of course, Louisville, a number one seed on the ladies' side. Some would argue have a better seed as a one than NC State, who won the regular season and the ACC tournament.
That's right. So Monday, we will chronicle all the activity. Men's tournament, women's tournament, the epic struggle, Sunday night on ESPN Plus between Virginia and North Texas, the two slowest teams in college basketball.
And keep in mind, Wake VCU.
That's right. Wake VCU is tomorrow afternoon. Yeah, that's on ESPN
Plus.
Which
will be the exact opposite of Virginia and North Texas. Because let me tell you something, Wake and VCU will get up and down the floor tomorrow in Switzerland.
That is true.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.